Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
To wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
My loss, I'm out.
Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Hurts. Barkley dropped it.
Wow.
Cousins looks right. Has a man. Touchdown, Drake London. And we are tied with the extra point to come.
Cry, Eagles, cry. We got our own issues in the Bay Area. But it is always good when Philadelphia loses. It puts a smile on everybody's face in the Bay Area. But who are we to brag right now? We're 1-1, just like the Philadelphia Eagles. But clock management, situational football rears its ugly head once again out in Philly as the Falcons come back 22-21 to win that game late on Monday Night Football. Fourth blow lead for the Eagles over the last year when it comes to leading in the game with 2 minutes left. All right, leading a game with 2 minutes left. They've blown four leads over the past calendar year. That's the most in the NFL, or tied for most in the NFL. So, look, man, it's a good day. Well, it's a bad day in Philadelphia. We get a little smile on our face, but we got our own issues here. As we say, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, good morning to everybody out there getting out their graveyard shift. What is happening to all the overnight dancers, all the truck drivers, all the janitors, teachers, cops, you name it. Deebo Samuel now is out for a few weeks for the San Francisco 49ers. And I got that news after a nap, Shasky. After a nap, Deebo Samuel out for the next few weeks. So this Rams game where they got a bunch of guys beat up, the 49ers have a bunch of guys beat up, it's no time to panic. But it's definitely gut check time in the first quarter of the season here in a gotta-have-a-game against the L.A. Rams. Deebo on the shelf for the next 3 weeks. No McCaffrey, no Pearsall. We don't even know how good he is. And so we're going to find out about Brock Purdy over the next couple of weeks here with the 49ers.
All right, so before I get into the Niners, because, you know, the Niners just, I love them so much. They drive me crazy sometimes. The injuries, it's just, I mean, I feel like I can't have nice things for multiple weeks. That being said, just allow me an opportunity, Bonte, to just enjoy a Philly loss. Now, it doesn't make the Niners loss any sweeter or anything. It's a nice unintended consequence of silver linings. You know, my grandma used to say to me, Joe, the grass isn't always greener. You can't keep up with the Joneses. No, but I can be very happy when the Philadelphia Eagles, Detroit Lions, and the like lose games. And so I'm here for the enjoyment of seeing Sirianni with the befuddled, stupid face look all over him. I'm just here for it. I needed that after all of the news of the last, I don't know, 36 hours or so. Whether it's the McCaffrey might be out for, I don't know, ever. Debo hurting his calf. The Niners losing that game that way. Whew! The thing I am allowed to feel good about is that I know when push comes to shove, my coach can literally go to the whiteboard and actually draw up solutions for my team. I'm not sure Nick Sirianni can do that. Yeah. So,
but we want them to win just enough to keep Sirianni in that seat. We don't want him fired.
That's true.
I mean, we do not want him fired.
We don't want Belichick sniffing around that job.
Now, you see the Eagles' defense is on our screen right now. Their pressure rate, 30th in the league, 23%. They allow 7 yards per play so far in the first 2 weeks of the season, and they do not have A.J. Brown. But you think about that situation yesterday. I was thinking, okay, they threw the ball on 3rd and 3, and Saquon drops it. By the way, there was Joe Buck on the call there. But earlier in the game, bookmark early in the game, they had a 4th and 4 on the side of the 10-yard line, and they elected to go for it. On the 4th and 4, they said no to the 3 points. Let's go for it. And they went for it. So late in the game, their final possession, they drop a great pass play to Saquon Barkley in the flat. He drops it on 3rd and 3. Now, a lot of us thought, run the ball there. Run the ball there. Eat the clock. Eat the clock. Eat the clock. And make Atlanta call that last time out. But you don't. You don't. Excuse me, Atlanta didn't have any timeouts at that point. They were done. They were done.
They had
run the ball.
No timeouts.
No timeouts. Run the ball. 40 seconds gets off the clock, and maybe you run it again. You set up the tush push. You get the first down, and you end the game, and you win, and you're 2-0 going into next week in the New Orleans in the Superdome. But you pass it, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's 2-down territory.
That's what I thought.
And they elect to go for the field goal. When it's only going to put you up 6.
Well, now this goes back to, so there's a variety of elements here. Like, congruity on thought process of aggression, right? Like, it's one thing to be, like, and Brandon Staley kind of suffered from this. Like, we're a go-for-it team. All right, so if it's 4th and 13 and you're backed up in your own 11 and your face, what was it, the Raiders that 1 year? It's like, no, you don't go for it in that situation. You punt it. And, like, there's a time and a place. Early in a game when it's 0-0, I don't know, just me. Like, and I know the Niners did the same thing, and they were right on the 1, so it was a little different.
Right.
I do love taking the points early in a game.
Early in a game, take the lead.
I understand why you want to punch it in and get 6 and really get the momentum, and I know there's a whole home versus road and momentum. Like, I'll listen to all of those arguments. But late in the game, and you referenced it, to me I thought it was 2-down territory, because if you score a touchdown, the game is over.
Just run to get a first down, the game is over.
Exactly. You get a first down, and the game is over.
Atlanta should not touch the ball the rest of the game.
And that's kind of the way I'm viewing it, especially when you see how lethal the tush push is.
Yeah.
To me, everything should be designed to get us a 4th and 1, 3rd and 1 situation, because I know that I have one of the most unstoppable plays in the sport. And then, like, when the clock stops, I keep going back to the clock. I mean, it's a constant theme in the NFL right now. You cannot be a head coach in the modern NFL if you are not 2 and 3 steps ahead of where the fans are when it comes to clock management, understanding situational football, and because our awareness of it, because of Madden, because of fantasy football, because now we can watch every game, whether you're on the Red Zone or whether you're watching on not DirecTV, but whatever it's called, the NFL YouTube package.
TV, yeah.
Like, we see everything. And so if you don't understand the clock and you don't understand what's going on here, a minute 40 for a team in the NFL to march down?
Eternity. Eternity.
It's like, oh, I mean, well, they don't have any timeouts. Dude, they don't need any.
They scored. They literally scored with about a minute, 34 seconds left. So it took them a minute 5 to score. A minute and 5 seconds to score yesterday after the kickoff. And I'm looking back at the 4th and 4, Shasky.
And they took their time, by the way.
And they took their time. They went out of bounds. They took their time. They set up in the same formation. Peyton Manning on the board. Manning was like, I like this. They're in the same formation, running different plays, but you don't have a bunch of guys scrambling all around. The 4th and 4 was from their old 9-yard line, from the Falcons' 9-yard line early in the game.
Yeah.
It felt a little aggressive.
That's what I'm saying.
It felt aggressive. It's like, Sirianni, take the points, take the lead. It's a struggle bus right now. You don't have A.J. Brown. Points are at a premium.
Would you agree inside the 2 or 3 and going for it is different than at the nine.
That the nine is completely different.
So, okay, so we agree.
It's completely different.
Some people will say, oh, no. Going for it is going for it. And I'm like,
No, fourth and four.
That's what
I'm
saying.
It's fourth and four. It's not a gimme. From the nine, you're at home. There's no score. Take the points.
Especially against a team that they feel limited, the Atlanta Falcons. It's not like, hey, we're facing the Chiefs and we know we need to score touchdowns. Okay, I'll listen to that argument. Yep. Kirk Cousins, until the final drive, looked very pedestrian.
Well, you don't blitz him on the final drive.
I don't know
what. You can't move. Sid 5, Sid 6. What are you waiting for? You have to be aggressive defensively to try to force a turnover, try to deflect the PBU. It was like the Eagles were playing 7-on-7 or something at the end of the first half. What are you doing there? So you don't go. So you do go for it in the first quarter, and you decide not to go for it at the end of the game. Well, Ryan Clark has some interesting things from ESPN to say about Nick Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni might have just saved the Atlanta Falcons season.
It's that big.
And I think he definitely changed the course of Kirk Cousins' season. And it's not because that one play did so much, but that one play allowed the Atlanta Falcons a chance to go be great.
And here's Saquon Barkley.
I could sit here and, complain and be upset about it, or I could be a professional athlete and go back to the drawing board and take the lick, move on, and get better from it. I made that play multiple times. I missed that play before, too.
I'm not going to sugarcoat.
Meaning the situation. That happens part of the game, and I just got to be better. I let my team down. I got a man up to it. I got to own it, which I'm doing, and I can promise those guys in his locker room that I'm going to be better from it.
All right, that was Ryan Clark on Sirianni. That was Saquon Barkley. Oh, you got Sirianni as well? Oh, here's Sirianni.
Yeah, what does he have to say?
Here's Sirianni on the decision to pass on 3rd and 3.
In that scenario, I was thinking they might not have any timeouts there, but obviously they did with the incomplete pass. You know, that would have came down to maybe a minute, and so we wanted to go up 6 points, and it didn't work. So, the decision to pass it there, again, like I said, where they were junking it up inside, with it being 4th and 3 to go for it, I thought, with them not having any timeouts, I wanted them to be down a touchdown and see if they could drive the field, and they did.
All right, that's the type of answer that would get you fired in about 5 weeks. That is just awful.
It's incongruent, though. Would you agree? Like, we want them to be on a touchdown. Okay, well, to me, then it's 2-down territory at the end there. If it's 3rd down, you go for it on 4th. If that's what your thought process is.
I really got lost with what he was saying. Like, he started off, just listen to it again, huh?
In that scenario, I was thinking they might not have any timeouts there, but obviously they did with the incomplete pass. That would have came down.
But they had a timeout because of the incomplete pass. Well, you threw the ball. So that's why they had to time out, all right? That's why they had to time out. Now, it was a great play design. Saquon's got to catch the ball.
Of course.
He's got to catch the ball. But at the same time, you're running it with success. You're going up the middle and gashing them. Overall, the Eagles averaged 5 yards a carry. Now, a lot of that was Jalen Hurts getting out the pocket and running.
I thought Jalen was awesome.
But I thought Saquon, he averaged over 4.3 yards a carry, 22 for 95. He was bruising, and you have one of the best offensive lines in football. Get behind them. They can't stop you. Get you a yard or two, and it sets up the tush push. So, Sirianni, you gave them the timeout by even throwing the football and risking that. And then, all of a sudden, I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's 2-down territory. They're going to pass it. Yeah, he left to go for the field goal to go up 6. Hey, Sirianni, all they got to do is score and kick an extra point. Now, the extra point was a lot longer because of the celebration by Drake London. But, Koo, he nailed it. He nailed it. So, I mean, I that answer's just pathetic. That's pathetic.
Okay, so
that'll get you fired in that market.
No doubt. Drake London scores the touchdown. And I guess my feed was behind. I was watching on the iPad. I was feeding the baby. He kept touching the screen. I was all over the place, right? Hey, Michelle's down in San Jose. And so I go, wait a minute. Penalty? What happened? And Sam's like, yeah, he let the chopper out or whatever Sam said in the thread. And I'm like, oh, I see it now. And he's like shooting a gun at the fans. I'm like,
I think he was playing Duck Hunt or something.
He was skeet shooting.
Yeah, skeet shooting or something like that.
You know, probably not the best thing to do after this most recent weekend's events.
No, I agree, but I didn't see it. And so, you know, when the text messages are ahead of your own feed when you're watching something, and I'm like, all right, you know what? He deserved that penalty.
Yep. So the Eagles are in trouble here. The NFC East, the winner may have 9 wins by the end of the day. 10 wins, maybe. Philly travels to New Orleans next week without A.J. Brown. Going to be very, very intriguing. And again, the Eagles defense has given up 7 yards per play on the season, 7 yards per play, and they're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. You think they want Hassan running back? Oh boy, they can't get anything. Wait, Saints are hot.
AJ Brown's out next week?
Oh, he's out for the next few weeks.
My fantasy team's in shambles.
Oh, that's what it's all about.
You and the Niners.
Well, what else is it about?
I mean, come on. AJ, well, I got him in fantasy, too, but that's the auto-drafted league, which I don't care about anymore. Because I'm like, they did me a...
It is sad, but it's true.
But anyway, AJ Brown's out for a few weeks with a hammy. He's out for a few weeks with a hammy. So they're in trouble in Philadelphia. You look at the Dallas Cowboys. They're playing Baltimore this week in Dallas. The Eagles, look at their next three games. At New Orleans... At Tampa Bay, who they got bounced by in the playoffs, and then they host the Cleveland Browns.
All right. So I know you're focused on the NFC East. I want to take 1 second out to look at the NFC South. NFC South, as it's a walk it back Tuesday. I'm sorry. I completely underrated you. Tampa Bay, I didn't give you enough credit at all. I considered you a playoff team, but not a true contender. I could be eating my words. I mean, it was only two games, but at the same time, you look very, very good. You went up and won a humongous game in Detroit. Humongous game in an ugly way.
And they'll be 3-0 because they hosted Denver Broncos this week.
They're a battle-tested roster that a lot of guys on that team have won high-level playoff games. They were the ones that knocked out Philly last year. Then I look at New Orleans. Didn't see this coming. I'm like, wow. Like, the Kubiak who's running the offense, they look completely different. Kamara looks like he's CMC right now, even though we know he's been a great player for a long time. And then Atlanta winning that game, like, you know, don't count them out just yet. Even though I know it looked ugly at times, and I still think they're a work in progress, the NFC South looks way better than I thought.
Well, the Falcons, they get fat and happy at the end of the season. They host the Giants, they play the Commanders, they play the Panthers.
Oof.
You know, they've got the Broncos later in the season. But these next three games for them, they host Kansas City, Sunday Night Football. They host the Saints. Then they host the Buccaneers. So they have three straight home games against teams that haven't lost a game yet this season. Now the Saints, we're going to find out a lot about. But the Saints, with the way they scored, they could be that. Now, they're probably the surprise team now in the NFC. There's always a team that elevates. And now we can identify that it's probably the Saints. And you look at their next 2 weeks, or next 3 weeks, New Orleans Saints. They host the Philadelphia Eagles, who are beat up. It's a big-time game in the Superdome.
That's a big game.
Big game.
Wow, that's huge. That's a huge game.
And then you go to Atlanta the week after. You play the Falcons, and that's a rivalry game. They hate each other, the Falcons and the Saints. Those cities hate each other. That's going to be wild. And then they go to Kansas City for Monday Night Football.
Oh, God, I hate the Chiefs. I hate them so much.
Now, that's a loss. Derek Carr in Kansas City. So he's just
Relax.
So, when I'm looking at the schedule this week, and we look at the 49ers, all you have to do, like these next two games, last week was a trap game. They fell for the trap. It happens. They got it thoroughly outplayed by the Vikings. We're going to dive into Brock Purdy. But these next 2 weeks against the Patriots, or this Sunday against the Rams, and then the next week after against the Patriots, you just win by any means necessary. I don't care about style points. I don't care about passing yards. I don't care about sack totals. I just care about the damn win. I don't care if it's 3-0, 9-6, 12-9. These next 2 weeks, just got to have them. Gotta have him.
It feels very survive in advance like. That's what it feels like. And you bring up Brock Purdy, and I'm glad you did, because as I was, you know, just looking at the news around the league, I bring up the NFC South again, and I look at Bryce Young, and it's like, man, like this poor guy, like I don't even know if he's good. I know everyone's ready to say he stinks and he has no qualities. I watched him college, and you can say he played for Alabama. They lost a lot of players, and he was a really good player, right? Now, does he look small in the NFL? Absolutely. Has he looked effective in the NFL? Not at all. Like, not at all.
He's seeing ghosts.
Like, that being said, he's got 20 starts. And they're already benching him. Now, could they go back to him? I bet they do go back to him at some point this year. But it feels like it's already over for the young man. And I look at Brock Purdy, and I'm like, look, Brock had, I would say, not one of his best games. No. Not even close, right? It was on a Brock Purdy, like, if we were just looking at a Brock Purdy resume, it's probably closer to a C-minus, D-plus Brock effort, because we're expecting such high standards.
Let's get into it on the other side. Let's get into Brock Purdy, because I got tipped off with something very early that I saw, And then I end up watching to say, yeah, he wasn't on this game. Maybe a C-minus is appropriate, but let's get into it. Plus, we'll ask Baldy about Purdy, about the 97-yard touchdown, the scheme, the formation. Baldy will join us today. Of course, every single Tuesday, it's a Baldy Tuesday. That'll be at 7:30 on the River Islands Guest Line. And all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? That's what's coming up on the game. Brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, 888-957-9570. If you had to give Brock Purdy a grade for week 2, what would it be? I want to hear from Niner fans here as we dive into Brock Purdy's performance against the Vikings here on the Morning Rust.
Cousins looks right, has a man! Touchdown, Drake London! We are tied with the extra point to come.
I was prepared to say this even if the Eagles had won that game, which clearly they should have by closing it out in the fourth quarter last night. The headline of the game, in my opinion, is that the 2024 Philadelphia Eagles appear to be a very mediocre football team. They look, to my eyes, to be entirely average.
If you love Philadelphia, there's a high probability that you hate these two. It's the Morning Roast with Vonta Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Love you guys. Most of the time.
Kay sent me a nice little birthday message, man. Shout out to Kate Scott. She's got to live in that. Oh, that miserable city. Joe DeCamera, 94 WIP. You heard the call from Joe Buck on ESPN. Buck and Aikman are so good. But then you get Joe DeCamera, 94 WIP. And he goes, I'm prepared. I was prepared to call this a mediocre football team, even though they would have been 2-0. Which is surprising to me, Shasky. Because a couple years ago when we had him on the simulcast, he once said this about Sirianni and the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen to this.
The thing I'd say, and I think, and I say this out of respect to your franchise, so I will say growing up, man, Joe Montana and Walter Payton were my two favorite players that were not Eagles in the NFL. I love those guys. I love Montana. I loved Rice. Those guys were great. But I'm telling you, the Eagles are on to something with how they play offense that to me is reminiscent of what Bill Walsh did 40 years ago.
Elaborate.
Bill Walsh brought something to the table that the league could not figure out initially. It was different. Oh, no. It was short passes. It was run after the pass. It was obviously Montana didn't have a rocket arm, but utilizing his strengths to the greatest ability he could, and it turned him for a long time into the best quarterback in football history. And obviously West Coast offense is maintained to this day. Some teams have made some adjustments, but in the early days, Walsh was way ahead of defenses. Guys, I'm telling you, the nation doesn't know it, but John and I know it, and Eagles fans
Joe,
know it.
Hurts
and Sirianni are ahead of the curve, and they have an advantage.
All right, now I'm coming down your road. Bubble back, boy. You haven't even won a second playoff game with this guy, and you're anointing him. He's Bill Walsh, and he's going to have a legacy where the entire league is going to be doing what he's doing for 40 years to come. I mean, can we put the cart before the horse?
That when was God defended Bill Walsh. Come into play for you.
I mean, Joe DeCamera, that's not aging well. But you know, we walk it back Wednesday. And everybody could have a big take. That was a big leap of faith right there. That was one take for the ages. That was one take for the ages. To say that this guy was going to revolutionize football and that they are so ahead of the curve that the nation doesn't know what's coming. Well, we've seen over the last season and a half what's been coming out of Philadelphia. They've given up since 2023. They've given up 140 points in the last 2 minutes of a half. 140 points, at least the NFL. They've blown four leads leading in the last 2 minutes. So as bad as we think we have it out here in San Francisco, it's nothing like Philadelphia. But we do have our own problems that we need to focus on. We can laugh all we want to at Philadelphia, but if the Niners lose to the Rams, a lot of people will be laughing at us with the way things are going here. No Deebo Samuel for the next 3 weeks. You look at the schedule for the 49ers, the Rams this Sunday, the Patriots the week after, the Cardinals the week after that, and then you go to Seattle in a short week before hosting Kansas City and the Dallas Cowboys. So you've got to stack up these wins right now over the next 2 weeks against a beat-up Rams team and the New England Patriots. And you're going to have to do it without Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. So we're going to learn a lot more about Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think the Brock Purdy thing is interesting. Quarterback play around the league seems to be down in terms of effectiveness, touchdown passes. Like, there's lots of different metrics. I think there are a lot of young players playing right now. I think, clearly, to your point about preseason the last couple of weeks, it's inarguable. Nobody's playing in the preseason, and all these teams look sloppy, and there's not a lot of synergy. Then you couple that with, wow, there are a lot of really good pass rushers in the league right now. Wow, offensive line play, cohesion is really down right now. So, like, I think all of these things are kind of happening all at once. And then you lose a lot of older 30-year-old legends over the last 5-6 years, and now you look up, and it's like, oh, the old players in the league. Now, I know Aaron Rodgers is still playing, but the old players in the league are like Mahomes and Josh Allen, you know? Like, those were the young guys just a couple years ago. So I look at Brock, Bonte, and I say, like, does he need to carry them the way that Buffalo has Josh Allen carrying them? No. But he has to play better football for them to win. And I think it's a really important stretch for him. And it's interesting that you bring up Jalen Hurts, because clearly Jalen Hurts was MVP caliber of the league and was a dominant force. And whether it's coaching, the physical wear and tear, the injuries, there's a variety of reasons on why he has not performed close to what he was that MVP caliber season. And I think Brock can play better than what he did on Sunday. I think his offensive line wasn't great, but I also don't think that he saw the field really well. I thought he was a little pressured by the rush, and I thought that his eyes went down on the rush. And I just look at his accuracy, which is one of the things he hangs his hat on, just not where it needs to be. And I just charted. You know, I like to chart every play. I do my own kind of way of doing it. And when I watch it back a second and third time, and I did highlights, and I highlighted what I deemed to be below average plays, and this is on the Brock ranking, okay? And what I above average plays. I had 14 of each from Brock, okay? And we can argue, like, hey, well, this linebacker, you know, stunted and no one saw it. All right, but, like, he's been really good at making that first guy miss, you know? Like, I expect him to. And yeah, it's everything. You know, the route combinations, the play calls, other players. But on the Brock level, I thought it was a subpar Brock game. That's all. And I love Brock. I didn't think it was even close to, like, an average Brock game.
You know, 49er Frankie, shout out to 49er Frankie, Guru's boy. He texted me yesterday. We were talking about checkdowns. He goes, man, they need to check it down more. He's got to use the checkdown when 5 or 6 are coming. I said,
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I don't have any check down options anymore, right? However, he goes, watch Mason on the third play of the game. So as I'm firing up the game again, forget the third play of the game, the second play of the game. Back-to-back plays. Mason's out in the flat. He's got a blocker in front of him. Maybe you check it down to him. You get 10 yards or something. Third down, you got to check down to Jordan Mason, and he forces it to Deebo Samuel. And from that point on, as I'm watching, there's a lot of forced throws from Brock Purdy. It was like he was really locked in on Deebo in this football game, forcing it over the middle of the field. That's where, you know, the Minnesota Vikings and their fast linebackers here, which our guy, Cashman, excuse me, Blake Cashman, for the Vikings, was flying all over the place. He was reading Brock. Brock was staring down receivers left and right. So on the Brock scale of things, because he's really good, he could process better than the most of them, but I looked at this film and I took it away and said, Brian Flores just confused the living crap out of him.
No doubt.
Over and over and over. But when it comes to checking it down, yeah, we know McCaffrey's not there. That was a big factor in this football game. Before that, Frankie goes, look at the third play of the game. And before I even got to the third play of the game, I got to the second play of the game and go, oh, yeah, he could have checked it out right there. Brock was just off in this game.
He was. But you're granted that when you play 30 really good games, right, you're allowed a weak game. You know right. what I mean? Like, it happens. No one expects you to be lights out. So, you know, we've seen Peyton Manning threw up duds, you know. Tom Brady talked about how there were certain defenses that, for whatever reason, flummoxed him. There's a guy, Spagnuolo, I don't know if you ever heard of him. You know, he got the best of Brady a few times. So, you know, Brian Flores having Brock's number and this offense's number is not new to the NFL. No. But what is like him staring down like receivers, and you reference that third play of the game, the way he was so locked in on Deebo, that linebacker jumping in.
He flew right over there. He led him right into Deebo Samuel.
No doubt.
It was terrible.
But he also, again, like, had a great shotgun pass that he lobbed over to Kittle, for example, on the second one. He had hitting his third read for Juwan Jennings on a first and 20, which was an absolute dime. Yep. Like, it was such a mixed bag for him, and I think we're all so accustomed to a much cleaner game.
Right. He felt rushed. He felt befuddled. He felt confused, which is why he walks up to Brian Flores after the game going, man, that game is crazy. It was like, ooh. Yeah, he was lost looking at this scheme. This scheme had him, and there was plays out there to be made. So moving forward here, without McCaffrey, without Deebo, it is imperative for him to use every single asset out there, whether it's Jennings, Ayuk, Kittle, Mason. And I do think Shanahan's going to have to go away from what he usually does, which is where he calls plays. He goes, hey, you go to this guy's going to be open. I think he needs to have on his whiteboard this week against the L.A. Rams, Brandon Ayuk needs 12 targets.
Oh.
At least. We need 12 targets. At least. We have to force feed you, and we got to get you into the season. Because now this is very important. Without Deebo Samuel, can you imagine if they had traded Brandon Ayuk and you got no Deebo, and you just have Juwan Jennings and Chris Conley? Thank God you signed Brandon Ayuk. But now it's the time to say, you know what, Brandon Ayuk? You're getting at least 12 targets in this football game. Kittle, you're getting at least 10 to 12 targets in this football game. And we're going to use you so much. You guys are premium players. We have to use you and take advantage of your talents here. So that's, you know, with Brock and Shanahan, they've got to get Brandon Ayuk going here.
The great quarterbacks find a way to make it work. You don't have to be spectacular. You just got to move the sticks, get your team into scoring position. And with Kittle, Mason, and Ayuk, I believe they have enough weaponry.
I do too, but don't be afraid to take your checkdowns. This is why Jordan Mason bought the jugs machine. He's ready to catch some passes out of the backfield. Checkdowns are open. Got to take them, Purdy. Purdy got a little greedy last week. We'll continue to roll out Purdy. Nick and Berkeley will get to you on the other side. 888-957-9570. How do you feel about Brock Purdy's performance against the Vikings? We talked all about Shanahan yesterday. We talked all about everything else, Bosa, the defense. But what about Brock Purdy, the quarterback here, before we get the party at 7:30? That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
In the city, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, if you want a baseball fix, because there's a lot of weird stuff happening with the Giants, including McCovey Dave. What a bizarre story that is. And the quotes he has, unbelievable. But make sure you guys subscribe to Garlic Fries Baseball Guys podcast. New one was just released yesterday, I believe. One podcast you need to be listening to for all your Giant talk. Sam Lubman, Joe Shasky, bringing the best damn Giants talk in the Bay, no matter what happens the rest of the season, good or bad. Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts. It is definitely my favorite podcast. My favorite Giants podcast, no doubt about it.
That's tough.
It is tough. McCovey Dave, real quick. How strange is that? McCovey Dave is always in a kayak out there in the cove. He's always retrieving home run balls. And
For those that don't know, why don't you explain?
Well, he's a guy who's always in McCovey Cove.
But what's the story?
In his kayak. Well, I'm going to get to the story. I'm describing who McCovey Dave is, who's always in a kayak. Mm-hmm. He's retrieving home run balls in the bay. And so Elliot Ramos had a splash hit from the right-hand side. First time we've seen a right-hander hit one into the cove, right, for a Giant. And so he retrieved the ball, and, you know, the Giants wanted it back. And McCovey Dave basically said, yeah, you're not meeting my asking price. Basically summarizing what he said. He had a quote in SF Gate basically saying, you know, I have a lot of home run balls from Hunter Pitts and Pablo Sandoval. I'll give them back to them because they were here for like 10 years and they were great to the fans. Ramos just got here. So he's basically going to have to wait. If he plays 10 years, then maybe I'll think about giving him the ball. And I'm just paraphrasing everything that he said. It's just a ridiculous story. We got media members attacking McCovey Dave. McCovey Dave has his 5 minutes to shine, and he's acting ass. It's just everything bizarre. Is this the most bizarre ending to the Giants season I've seen in years? I can't wait to ask Flynn this. Seriously, you got Fitzgerald and Luciano fighting with each other. You got Bob Melvin calling team meetings in the month of September when you're already out of it. You're running out of pitchers. I don't know if this Jordan Hicks story is true. It's just bizarro land down there, third and King. And now we got McCovey Dave still in headlines.
Wait a minute. A 65-year-old man who stays in a kayak during every Giants home game, fishing for balls for free, did something weird?
It is sad, but it's true.
Wow. I am shocked. I mean, look, I put McCovey Cove Dave in the same bucket that I put Banjo Man in, so that should just speak for itself. Weirdos.
Oh, man.
Am I wrong?
Oh, man.
We had this issue with Dog. You remember Dog, who used to be out in left field?
Oh, yeah. Well, you better leave Dog alone. Let me tell you.
I missed the Dog.
Well, listen, I worked at the other
station.
It was
clearly he was not a... Like, there was some stuff going on.
Well,
that's all.
You gotta be careful with Dog.
Why'd he say that?
Because I remember the show I worked on way back when at another station when Dog was first kicked out of Oracle Park because he greased his glove over the wall.
Yeah.
And we throw it out to the phone lines, like, is this a big deal? Is this the curse of Dog? And I've never seen lines light up the way they did in defense of the Dog.
Okay.
And so he's got a lot of buddies out there left field, in those left field bleachers. So
don't disrespect the Dog.
I'm not going to disrespect the Dog.
That was a great Giants fan out there.
I'm not going to disrespect the Dog.
Do you know who, like, the Knob Hill Twins are, the San Francisco Twins? Yeah. These, the old ladies, they passed away.
Well, they may not know.
Okay. Well,
I do not know if you could
there
explain.
There are these two twins that everyone knew as the San Francisco twins, even though they weren't born in San Francisco. They moved here. They used to live up on the hill. And they were like a character of themselves. Like, and so what ends up happening is I feel like it's actually more sad. To me, again, this is just a normal person. It's more sad than it is anything else, as I am a guy who's referred to as a character at times, which, believe me, I'm guilty as charged. But point being is that it's like, it just must be a weird existence. That's all. And so if like, your whole shindig is like, hey, I sit in a kayak during a game waiting for a ball to come over over the fence every single night, I find that odd. That's all. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I find the behavior to be odd. Mm-hmm. I've got to, you know, I like to coach. You like to sit in a kayak. Okay, to each their own.
Would love to have that kind of free time.
Yeah, that's another thing, though. You got the free time and you get to take in a baseball game in a very unique way, which makes Oracle Park very unique, where you can get in a kayak and watch a game from right field or listen to a game in right field and get home run ball. So, you know, it's a bizarre story. It's bizarre.
I agree there.
I even see Andrew Baggerly. Andrew Baggerly was even taking shots at the guy. It's just like, oh my gosh, this has made the rounds. He got interviewed by SF Gate, which has become basically the National Enquirer out here in the Bay Area. What has happened to SF Gate? Jesus Christ. Excuse me, I don't mean to use Jesus' name and dump that. I know we can't say that, but I mean,
no, you're tight with God. We're good.
Yeah, no, you know I'm tight with God. Listen.
but honestly, are you surprised?
What?
That a guy who sits in a kayak thinks he's a little more important than he needs to be.
Well, I mean,
somewhere Radnich is nodding though? His head.
You know what, though? I'm not mad at him saying, you know what? I'm going to stick this franchise for some money. I mean, you know what?
Okay.
Hey, you know
on
what?
That
they're charging
one,
top dollar for tickets point. And everything like
but
that.
But why does Elliot Ramos got to catch a stray?
Yeah, I don't know why he's got to catch a stray, like, but you know what?
Like, why you got to do the Drake London and pull the chop out on him?
Yeah, this is a good point. 925. Fishing any different than Kayak Dave?
I don't fish, so I don't know.
Fishing is something that I want to get into. It's hard, but I heard it's really, really therapeutic. Really good. You're just out there in the ocean, you just listen to the water, fishes, you know, just out there.
You're going to the ocean? Or like,
yeah,
the lake?
Excuse me, lake.
Or are you going to a river?
Lakes.
Now I need someone to meet Monte fly fishing.
Lakes or the river, yeah. I do want to go fly fishing. That'd be kind of fun. But no, that is bizarre.
I see you pulling fish off of the lure.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never done it. I'm a city boy.
The man who has Gucci's and, you know, gets his nails
like
done and all that stuff. I don't know. I have a hard time seeing you put live bait onto the end of a hook.
I haven't got a manicure since my mom's birthday was February 23rd. So it's been a while.
Maybe pepper.
I'm telling you, it's not like pampering yourself. I was ashamed of going to, you know, go to Medi and Petties, but man, you go in there. Man, when they scrub the dead skin off your feet and just soak it in that hot water, and then they're rubbing your heads and putting the lotion on, there's nothing like it. I'm telling you, man, once you go bougie, you don't go back. I'm telling you, man, it is something else. Go get a Medi and Petties, Spinotti. You'll feel good.
Well, Bonte, you were talking about fishing, and a guy that I think balances the fishing lifestyle very well with like the Louis Vuitton and stuff like that, Randy Moss.
Ah.
He's a very good fisherman. And I know we had to pull some sound that you wanted to hear in regards to receivers and stuff like that. Randy Moss is a guy that you can emulate, Bonte, when it comes to balancing that lifestyle.
Bonte's asking for the Brandon Ayuk ratio.
Hey, we're going to need the Brandon Ayuk ratio. But look, we got to understand something here. Wide receivers don't control whether or not they catch the ball or whether a pass is thrown to them. They control whether they catch the ball. They drop it or catch it, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They don't control whether or not the quarterback throws the football to them. They don't control whether or not they even get a look. Yeah. They don't control any of that stuff. So Randy Moss broke it down very well at the beginning of the receiver doc, and here it is.
It's always funny when people say a receiver has one job, catch the ball. When catching the ball is mostly out of our hands. The play call, the protection, the quarterback looking our way. So many things we have no control over have to go right just for the chance to do our job. No matter how much you train, study, and practice, when the ball is snapped, you can leave the defender in the dust, run the perfect route, and have absolutely nothing to show for. Catch the ball?
Congrats, you're now a moving target. Drop the ball? Sorry, you'll never hear the end of it. They call us divas, despite our decoy routes. They call us distractions, despite all the damn blocking we do. But no one seems to recognize the one thing we actually are. Always open.
Always open. So that was the opening monologue in the receiver doc where he told Peyton Manning, move aside here. And Randy Moss set the tone there as you got Justin Jefferson, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel. Who's the other two receivers? Oh, Devontae Adams and
Amon-Ra
St. Brown. So Brandon Ayuk's probably thinking, throw me the ball and I'll make some things happen.
You can't be serious here, right? Like, the guy caught a pass for a 20-yard gain and then immediately was like, yep, take me out of the game.
That's
like,
what Randy Moss is talking about right there.
What?
He catches a pass for 20 yards and you still knocking the guy.
We're chasing multiple touchdowns and we're down bodies and you finally make a play and, yes, stay on the field. No, I don't think that's too
maybe
much.
Maybe ran five straight routes. You know, I saw DJ Moore.
He did.
I saw,
run, listen, he did not run I saw five DJ straight Moore. Routes.
Listen,
I'm actually.
Listen. I saw DJ Moore in Houston on the final drive run a deep route. It was underthrown or whatever in the case may be. And it became a third down, and DJ Moore walked off the field.
Okay.
He needed a blow. Guys need blows.
So this is what happened. Shotgun sack. This is the first possession
I know
sack.
Exactly what happened.
Second play. Ayuk dime. Yep. He asks to be called out of the game. And Kittle gets announced. I have this in my notes. Kittle's announced he's on a cart with an IV. Second play of the drive. Right. After they sat on the field, on the sideline for quite some time. Because remember, Purdy threw an interception.
Maybe need to fix his socks. Maybe need to fix his helmet.
I'm just saying.
His body language hasn't been great.
Right. I'm not here to crush him. We expect more. Hey, he's going to get better as time goes on.
Let's ask Ayuk. Hey, Ayuk, why'd you leave the game after a 20-yard catch? I see receivers all the time. Whether it's a third down to some of these guys come out the game.
Well, they're
going
to ask a lot from him moving forward. He's gonna have to get up to speed with no Deebo Samuel, with no CMC. You know, I believe they're going to need to want him to produce more. And so we haven't really had those games where he's had 10, 11, 12 catches in a game. I think we're absolutely going to need that from him. And, you know, there's a grace period of coming back, and some have a little more leniency than others. But, you know, when you lose a game, all these things come up for criticism. You know, the play of the left tackle, you know, the play calling of the head coach, the wide receivers across the board, the quarterback play. All these things are going to get critiqued. But I think if they want to win games moving forward, especially against a Rams team that's as depleted, if not depleted, as you are, then you're going to need more Brandon Ayuk, more George Kittle. They're going to need more Jordan Mason.
Well, the opening monologue for Randy Moss is basically telling everybody, like, look, man, you guys don't appreciate fully what a wide receiver do. All you do is look at a box score, look at targets and catches and yards and saying, well, it's not good enough here. And basically, we don't know if they're open. We don't know if they're the primary receiver. We don't know if they're the secondary receiver. We don't know if Brock is even seeing it. So the quarterback controls most of this, right? That's why this is our Brock. Brock, he's got to play better and read it better. And he's got to take these checkdowns, which will loosen up the defense a little bit more. Minnesota was dropping everybody thinking, okay, I dare you to throw it to Jordan Mason. I dare you to throw it to Jordan Mason. While they were blitzing five and six guys at a time. Checkdown's got to be there. You got to hit those. So, but when it comes to Brandon Ayuk, in these next few weeks without Deebo Samuel, it is imperative to get Brandon Ayuk going, and it's imperative for Brandon Ayuk to take advantage of the situation and ball the hell out. He could quiet all the noise from all the offseason with some big-time performances over the next few weeks against the Rams, the Patriots, and the Arizona Cardinals, who will be coming to Levi's in 3 weeks.
Well, and he needs another guy on the opposite side.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.